There he goes. Here we are. Welcome to another edition of Chaos Theory on Texas Sports Unfiltered. And it's not 20 degrees, but it's
cooler.
It's about 20 degrees higher, I would think. It's around the 40s, right? Or 50. It feels like it's 30 degrees outside in Texas. So anyways, bring the warmth back with you, BK, when you come back this way. Welcome to another edition of Chaos Theory on Texas Sports Unfiltered. I'm Wags, that's double R. Make sure you hit us up on our socials. I'm at Not the Fake Wags on Brand X / Twitter, and then on InstaFace at The Wagner Wire. My partner in crime, double R, he is at The Rodney R on Brand X / Twitter, and then on InstaFace at The _ Rodney R. Smash that subscribe button if you hadn't done so already, and get into this conversation. Hit us up on that Coda text line, 512-222-9328. Let's go. What do we got on the slate today? You said, who's our guest?
Her name is Michelle Kirkpatrick, and she's very much a Michigan insider, Michigan fan.
Who's she work? I didn't get a chance to look her up. Who's she?
I'm not sure. She's actually a lawyer. She's actually a lawyer that is a Michigan insider. I mean, inside of everything. So great information. We're going to get some good stuff from her. Where you were talking about weather, I saw people yesterday that
What's
were.
Her name? Let me look her up. What's her name?
Just look up at Michelle K4040. I saw yesterday where people were all excited because you had grapple happening in Georgetown. And it's like, okay. It's not going to stick. It's not going to stick.
Michelle K4040 is who we're having on.
Yeah. Seriously, dude. We will get good information from her. But so it's like it's not going to snow. It's not going to freeze right now. Calm down, y'all. We're not closing the city down quite yet. It's crazy.
Hey, well, how about Monday night, man?
What'd you think of Bijan? Now that
he brought me home a fantasy championship.
You won it, my man.
Only really needed Derrick Henry and Bijan Robinson to bring it home. But I mean, holy shit. Like 45 points between King Henry and then what, another 39.7, 40, wherever. I guess it's clear to, or it's safe to say 40 across the board, right? If you had Bijan Robinson in your fantasy, on your fantasy team last night. But damn, dude, just 85 points between the two of them. Fantastic. I had Jacoby Brissett.
The brisket man.
Was it Bear? Who was the guy that told me to look up Brissett? Because he's probably available. When Murray said he's not going to play anymore, when little Kyler Murray said he's not going to play anymore, he wants to go play video games, somebody said pivot to Brissett.
Oh, I remember that.
I don't think he's available, that. But that was the move. And since then, I went on a streak. I think I lost one. I went on like a 6-game tear, and then I lost one game. Lost to the dude that I just beat, right? And then went into the playoffs, and then ended up seeing the guy again. But he had Nacua. I was dead in the rights. There's no way I should have won this week. My team had no business being in the damn playoffs, anyways. But anyhow. This guy had Josh Allen, he had A.J. Brown, he had Jalen Hurts, he had Ashton Jeanty. Who's the other running back that he had? Cook, he had James Cook. I mean, this dude, Puka Nacua, this dude was loaded. Sutton, just everybody had an off week, a terrible week. And Bowers, he had Brock Bowers. Bowers got hurt, so...
Just, yeah, there's a guy.
It's not sometimes. You need luck. You need luck in fantasy. You just do. Like, it is about minimizing the errors, right? Like, the errors that you can make, kind of, you know, just putting your best, I guess, your best options available and seeing how the chips fall out. That and the rest of it is luck. Like there's some skill to it, but you need luck going with it.
And you know that there's one of the leagues that I'm in. There's been a guy that's been dominating all year, dude. I mean, he has just been kicking everybody's ass. And he went against Bijan last night in the championship and lost. He lost to a team I think that had lost 5 or 6 games during the year. It's just one of those amazing performances, and that's. As I'm sitting there watching Bijan last night, Bijan, whatever we want to call him, I'm like, man, it's like, it's just being wasted there in Atlanta, right? It's like, last night, Atlanta looked, really good. And now they've kind of messed up the AFC South or the NFC South to where it's really complicated now. The Panthers can get in with a loss in that championship or, you know, divisional championship.
Yeah, I mean, it's all coming down to this week, man. You know, like we got some high noon drama this week. You know, Panthers and Falcons and Steelers and Ravens, right? So,
yeah. Yeah. How about Kirk Cousins? I mean, that dude, what do you do with the quarterback thing in Atlanta at this point? Are you going to keep that guy? Or are you going to
on Monday Night Football too? Kirk Cousins coming out and performing. So,
yeah. It's just really cool to watch Bijan Robinson. I mean, the fact that he was here makes it even cooler. But when you have Troy Aikman, you know, dropping, you know, Barry Sanders, Emmitt Smith, I mean, you watch the tendencies of Bijan Robinson and it very much like that. I mean, the footwork, the way he makes people miss, it's like, dude, this guy is just beauty in motion. I hate to say that about another man, but beauty in motion when this guy takes off with the football. You're not going to get him down with the first contact.
What about the MVP conversation after last night?
Right? I mean, but that's a whole thing where you keep going to the quarterback. And I'm like, I'm watching that guy last night, and I'm like, that's the MVP. Because that team can't get their shit in one sock, and that dude is the constant, right? I mean, that is unbelievable watching that guy.
Running back in the league. Derek. I mean, that's not my burnt orange bias, you know, coming in right here. Like, I'm not, you know, sucking down the burnt orange Kool-Aid, you know, just to say Bijan Robinson is the best back. And there's so many good backs. Like Cook's fantastic. Gibbs is fantastic. Saquon Barkley's fantastic. These are all like these handful of backs are the backs that can do the special plays, that can make the special plays, right? That are at the top of the pantheon, right? Outside of those five, really, you don't have those types of backs that are making those types of special plays. Or maybe they're just not in a position or they don't have that type of opportunity to do it. But you can clearly see the skill set or the bag that Bijan Robinson has, just the balance there, the way that he's able to stay on his feet all the time, the yards that he's able to get after the first hit. And just his ability to prevail in the passing game and then also to carve you up, run inside the tackles, and then get to the edge. Like, he does have everything. Gibbs has everything, too. Maybe it is the burnt orange bias, right?
No.
He's just – I feel like when I watch Bijan Robinson, I feel like Bijan Robinson has everything put together, right? He's got it all going. He can block. He can pass. He can catch. He's got the speed. Or not pass, but I mean, he can run the rock. He probably passed the ball too. But he reminds me of young Saquon Barkley before Saquon got hurt, right? Mm-hmm. And, you know, God, let this dude just stay, you know, no injuries to this dude's career, right? To keep this dude upright. And Gibbs too, because you'd like to see competition, right? You want to see, you know, formidable backs and, you know, people that are able to take over from leading from time to time, right? And be able to push each other to the tops of their game. And you need that. You need competition in the league, man. You don't want just Bijan Robinson running all over everybody or just constantly being the best. I like seeing this group of five, right? If you want to call it that, this group of five. Hold on. Can we put Derrick? No, we can't put Derrick. As dominant as Derrick Henry still is at his age, I don't think I can list Derrick Henry in that group of five.
No. Because,
like, he just doesn't – he doesn't have the passing attack ability too, right? Like, he just doesn't have that in his bag. And also, like, he's – the miles have creeped up on Derrick Henry. But, yeah, dude, what a year for Henry. What a year for Bijan Robinson. And when you talk about MVP, I mean, it'll never go to a running back ever. I mean, Saquon Barkley got as close to it, but I mean, damn. You'd like to think that the league, with the disparity of the quarterback play, it's starting to go down and trickle back into a little bit of that running attack. or that.
Yeah. And the thing about Robinson is he does have that very much of that Emmitt Smith thing. You remember Emmitt Smith in the heyday? That dude did a really good job of not getting.
Yeah, Emmitt had hands too. Emmitt had great hands.
He did. But Emmitt was really good at not getting hit. And that's what Robinson does, which of course that's going to extend his lifespan in the league. I think where Derrick Henry, that's a big bruising running back to where he relies on that boom, which Bijan can do as well. I mean, he can do that, but it's not his first move. Or sometimes with Derrick Henry, it's get to the line of scrimmage, run the first dude over, and then get into open space.
Yeah, like
Bijan is just so
electrified. And I know, like we really did a disservice to CMC by not listing CMC, but if he was when he's on the field, when Christian McCaffrey is on the field, he is one of the best backs in the league, right? But man, that's just it. Like how, yeah. and he has like he has stayed healthy for the latter portion of the season, right?
Yeah.
Usually he's missing in the latter portion.
He's only 49er.
They got to try and find a way to spell him. Yeah. But yeah, when McCaffrey's on the field, you can list McCaffrey in that group of five too. So I guess it's about six. It's still a solid handful, man. But yeah, it's tremendous play, and maybe. And that's why I was bringing up CMC. He reminds me of CMC when CMC was coming out of Stanford and shit, when CMC was a rookie, right? Like, he's just got that. And maybe it's because the hits aren't on him yet, too, right? And it's kind of what you said. He's, like, the comparison with Emmitt, he's able to slide out of a tackle, or he doesn't take a tackle head on. He's able to slip it somehow. He doesn't really take hard thuds. And also, he's not stubborn, right? Like, he gets the boundary. He gets to the boundary or whatever. He runs out of bounds. He doesn't take the hit. If he can't get any more yardage and he doesn't want to cut it up against three other people or would-be tacklers, get out of bounds and save yourself a little bit of a load.
Yeah, and that's where, like with Emmitt Smith, you go back and you look at one of the worst injuries he ever had was that shoulder against the Giants in the game where he played with the bum wing.
I remember it vividly.
Yeah, yeah. And you go and you look at that, and that's not where he got hit. That's how he fell. I mean, he avoided a hit, but he was shoved enough to where he fell on that shoulder. And that's the other thing that Aikman was talking about. In the style that Bijan is using right now, the dude doesn't miss any games. He's always there, and this is where I go back to, man, can he get out of Atlanta, or can Atlanta put the pieces together to build around him and take it to the next level? That Atlanta team last night is what we should be seeing every week.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Right?
And the Rams are a pretty decent defense, right? Like, their defense is pretty nasty, and, Robinson's still able to kind of pull this stuff off. He's getting spared. Like, still, Algier is still taking away 10 totes, right? Is the reason he is so able to stay healthy, is it because he's not overloaded with totes? I mean, imagine this dude only got 22 last night. Imagine if he got 30. Imagine if he got fed, 20 over 25 times, right? Yeah. Is that the number? Is that the X factor in terms of breaking down a running back, constantly getting them over 25 carries, 25 reps a game?
I think, and with him, that's a difficult question to answer because, like you mentioned, he's really good at pass blocking.
That's just like it's not just how many totes he gets too. Like, how many times is he targeted? How many times does the play actually go to him? Like, and why not make him the X factor with the ability that he has, right? I mean, 200 yards on 22 carries. Like, let him rip. You just feed him the damn rock.
Yeah. Yeah. And I saw that post. I pulled it up a while ago to where it's like, we talked about how good that Rams defense is. They knew who was going to get the ball. It was pretty damn obvious.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's where that Ray Charles, Ronnie Millsap, Stevie Wonder, they all could see who's getting the ball, and still they couldn't stop this dude. And that 93-yard touchdown run, dude, that's the thing of beauty. That's grace. It's beauty and
motion. That's what it looked like. It looked like grace. It looked like, I can't compare him to Walter Payton. Like, there's just, maybe he is just kind of like creating his own little spot. And I have to. Like, I know there's so many better running backs out there. Or not better running backs. I know that there's so many good running backs out there. I think I am solidifying Robinson as the number one running back in the league. It's not just because we're prisoner of the moment after last night. or I'm, you know, burnt orange bias here. I just think that all the factors we just listed, that is why.
And that's the thing with him. I think even if he had played
hell,
even A&M, you know, I would say that this guy is just, I think it, and that's where to me, it's kind of feeling the Walter Payton and Barry Sanders thing. Cause both of those guys, Payton and Sanders, you know, they played for an organization that wasn't, they didn't play the 325 game. They weren't in playoff conversations all the time, but they continued to do magnificent things. I just hope that he doesn't end up like Barry Sanders and quitting before, you know, what could be just an unbelievable career, because this guy, and Chan mentions this on the Coda text line. Think about this too. When we talk about Bijan Robinson and the lack of hits, Tom Herman underutilized him here. So I think that's the other part of it, to where the dude is still, dude's young. The guy's in shape. I mean, the guy can do so many different things. Hopefully a long career coming up, man. I want to see him win a championship, but I'm not sure Atlanta's where that's going to happen. Because they just
he's going to have to get shipped out. It's probably going to be after his next contract and wherever he goes next, right? Because Hotlanta doesn't seem to be the spot. They just can't get it done. Back to the MVP conversation real quick. Matt Stafford last night, 269 through the air, 2 touchdowns, 3 interceptions. Did he throw himself out of the MVP race last night? Or rather, did he allow Drake May to kind of come up and take it?
Yeah, especially on Monday Night Football. I think if that had been a Sunday noon game kind of lumped in there with everything else going on, I think that it maybe would have gotten a little lost in the shuffle. And then the fact that the Rams pushed their way back into the ball game but still lost, and all the while the Rams have kind of fallen out of that number one playoff spot in the NFC. I mean, they have fallen out of it. It's going to be Seattle or San Francisco probably, but I think he really has, and there's a lot of push for Drake May, especially now with the Patriots, you know, unseating Buffalo in the AFC East. I think this is Drake May's to lose, brother. I think that's going to be your MVP. I'd vote for Bijan Robinson, like you said. I mean, that would be my guy, but I guess that's a reason I don't get to vote for that award.
4,203 yards through the air, 30 touchdowns, 8 interceptions.
Yeah, that's
Matt Stafford. Here's the thing. Matt Stafford's got 12 more touchdowns, right? 4,448 yards through the air, 42 touchdowns, 8 interceptions. That is, and Stafford's team is going to the playoffs.
Yeah.
That is a hell of a season. As well as Drake May is playing, I think I still have to give it to Matthew Stafford.
If I'm voting for the two of those, I'm going to vote for Stafford. I mean, I vote Robinson, but I think that Stafford will get a lot of the, and I don't know, maybe I'm speaking out of term here, but some of these voters, it's going to be Drake May is going to be in contention for this for the foreseeable future. How many times do you get a season like this from Matt Stafford? Then here's the emotional Ronnie coming out, to where it's like, if I'm voting between those two, I'm like, okay, this might be the last season like this for Matt Stafford. I'm checking Stafford, but
I'm not giving it to him because he's tugging on, you know, my heart with the old man river or whatever, but Derek, like I get you, like, you know, stats shouldn't be the deciding factor, but I mean, it's hard to pass this up. 42 touchdowns, 8 interceptions, your team's playing in the playoffs, or you got your team playing at a high level in the playoffs. I'm shit contending for NFC home field contention here. I would say that you're playing at an MVP level, man. It's very mistake, like less than 10 interceptions too. And he's not leading the league. Like Dak Prescott's the leading the leading quarterback in terms of pass yardage. But still, like, I think when it comes down to that, Matthew Stafford has to be considered the MVP, right?
Yeah, and how much of that would you factor in, like when we look at Drake May, even with Dak Prescott, to where Stafford has, you know, Nacua and everything.
You guys got a lot of faith in me, man. I don't know if I can. Devontae Adams, Devontae Adams was out. I mean, got a good point. Devontae Adams and Puka Nacua. I mean, I think most of Devontae Adams' catches this year are touchdowns.
Yeah.
If I'm correct.
And that's where you think about that, those two dudes, and you mentioned Dak, which I think Dak should be in that conversation as well, but his team's not going to the playoffs. But, you know, when it comes to Drake May doesn't have Pickens, doesn't have CeeDee Lamb. So that's where you factor that in as well. Like with the touchdowns for Stafford, it's like he's throwing to fleet-footed, you know, accomplished wide receivers, which Drake May doesn't have yet. So I don't know, but I think I still got to lean Stafford if I'm picking an MVP in that thing. And it's not Bijan Robinson.
Now talking, you know, I'm hearing the counterpoints. Like I see that, you know, Drake May doesn't have the weapons that Matthew Stafford has. 100%. I agree with that wholeheartedly. Right. And he's been able to kind of do a lot more with less. And that's no backhanded slap to Hunter Henry and Diggs and Bourne. Or not born. Who's the other guy up there? Rob. I can't think of the other wide receiver name up there. But anyway, like, it's no backhanded slap to him. It's just the fact that Matthew Stafford does have those weapons. But still, we're talking about 42 touchdowns to 8 interceptions. I love that ratio. I know it shouldn't be an award based off of stats, but it's kind of hard not to when we're talking about what's driving the league, which is quarterback play. And the fact that there's a disparity in quarterback play, and Dak Prescott is at the top of it, but his team's not there. It's got to be Matthew Stafford for me. And then Drake May probably 2, and I'll give Mono Man Sam Darnold 3 is my other vote. So
I tell you one thing we need to tackle after the new year is we need to tackle coach of the year. To me is also going to be very interesting because it's like you've got 5 or 6 guys in there that you can probably think about that could be coach of the year. And I think that's pretty interesting conversation as well. Pretty interesting.
All right, man, you want to hit the sponsors before we have our guest on?
Yeah, absolutely. Let's dive in. Looking for that new or pre-owned car, truck, or SUV? It is covertbcave.com. Check them out online, and you could be a satisfied customer just like these.
I don't have to worry about shopping for mechanics to make sure it's done and done right. I come up here, I'm in, I'm out. They give me a loaner sometimes, and it's hassle-free.
If you have any questions, they'll go ahead and help you out and educate you. They're not just here just to sell you a vehicle. They're here to build a relationship.
They treat you like family, and then they make the experience what you want it to be, not what they want it to be.
Covert, born and raised in Austin,
where you are always treated like family.
Absolutely. Nobody beats a Covert deal. Not now, not ever. Check them out at covertbcave.com.
Yeah, and there's a new lawyer in town. You guys know the drill. When that storm hits, you got to let Ryan Hurricane Hecht sort you out. Ryan Hurricane Hecht, your personal go-to attorney right here in our Fairburg of Austin, Texas. Proud Texas Longhorn fighting for fellow Texans. Wears that burnt orange suit into the courtroom with you. He's a Longhorn through and through, and he knows what you're going through. He brings that same pride into that and passion into the courtroom. You're injured in a car accident or you got any type of personal injury at all, just give our guy Ryan a call. 512-938-8929. That's 512-938-8929. Email Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. That's Ryan at hechtlawfirm.com. Supporting local sports, local businesses, local families, and you when you call them today, 512-938-8929. Tell them the crew from TSU sent you.
There you go. All right. Cheez-Its Citrus Bowl happening tomorrow. Oh, by the way, there's a football game tomorrow we got to talk about. The University of Texas in the bowl game taking on Michigan. And maybe some people thought that this was going to be some type of national championship matchup. Who knows? But we're going to our insider when it comes to talk about Michigan. It is Michelle Kirkpatrick joining us here on Chaos Theory at Michelle K4040 on the X. Michelle, how are you doing this morning, ma'am?
I am doing wonderful. Thank you guys so much for having me on. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. So
what is going on up in Michigan? There's been a lot of disarray, a lot of discontent, but it looks like you guys have settled on your head coach. You want to talk a little bit about that?
We have miraculously turned a corner pretty quickly. Things were looking incredible. Yeah,
it looks like you guys are starting to heal.
Incredibly grim as of just a couple weeks ago, and we're back, baby. I mean, this Kyle Whittingham hire has, I think, created more excitement for this Michigan fan base in a shorter amount of time than anything since the national championship. I would say it almost rivals the feeling we felt when we flipped Bryce Underwood. It's up there, I think, for me. Nice. And for a lot of other Michigan fans in terms of feeling like we've finally got some momentum and hope for this program.
I wanted to lead with the good, Michelle, because like it is brutal to lead with the bad. But I mean, we have to talk about it. Just the fallout with Coach Moore there and what the hell was going, what was the Michigan fan base thinking? I mean, especially now with right during the recruiting era or the hottest part of the recruiting era now too. Any recruits being lost? Like, are you guys able to retain most of your recruits?
I've seen a couple of recruits that I was excited about asked to be released from their NLIs, from their letters of intent, which we thought would happen. From my perspective, I think one of the biggest losses is Ludwig. He was a tight end, four-star tight end prospect that I was pretty excited about. But for the most part, I think we are going to be able to keep a lot of this roster together. Everything that I'm seeing from some of our top recruits, Carter Meadows just came out right after they announced Whittingham and said he's excited about the hire. This is an upgrade at coach. I think anyone will tell you, Michigan fan or not a Michigan fan, that this is a huge upgrade. Notwithstanding all of the stuff that was going on off the field with Sherrone Moore, I think this is universally regarded as putting Michigan in a better spot than we were even just a month ago.
Yeah. And Michelle, this really seems like to me the hire right now for Michigan, because you had the Harbaugh era and so forth and everything that's gone on. It seems like when we talk about healing, I mean, we say that kind of joking, but it really is. This is a guy that's going to bring disciplined football. This is a guy that's going to want to run the ball. Talk about that part. I really think this is a full package hire that's going to put Michigan back in the conversation.
Can I do a piggyback on that one as well? Because I saw a good question in here too. What does this do for Underwood? Is he still locked in with the Michigan program and being under the new, I guess, coaching philosophy?
Yeah. I mean, I want to address the Underwood question first. I think it's a stretch to say that Underwood was at the University of Michigan because of Sherrone Moore. Okay. I would say he was almost there in spite of Sherrone Moore. We know there are millions, literally, of other reasons why Bryce Underwood committed to the University of Michigan. And those reasons have not changed. But in terms of offensive style and compatibility with Bryce Underwood, I think Whittingham is a great fit. First of all, this is a guy who cares deeply about building strong lines of scrimmage. The O-line is going to be there, and it really hasn't been for Underwood past season. I think Michigan's O-line was a real weakness, and somewhat surprisingly so, because I actually viewed Sherrone Moore, I mean, you know, two-time Joe Moore award-winning offensive line at when he was OC, and that just kind of fell off when he became the head coach. So I think Whittingham will really restore and fortify the O-line, which every quarterback should want. And then what I'm hearing is that he's going to be bringing in Jason Beck as well, and that should really excite Bryce Underwood. Like, Bryce Underwood, dual threat guy, very capable runner, a strong passer. And I think Whittingham and Beck together, assuming we get Beck, are really going to be able to maximize his potential, but also give him the protection he needs in the pocket to be successful, which is great.
Yeah, absolutely. So one of the questions, Michelle, that we've been going back and forth, and it always comes up when you have bowls like this and you have blue blood programs that are playing in these, is this going to be a little bit of motivation for Michigan tomorrow in this bowl game, to where it's like, well, they didn't want to be there or they don't want to play this game? And that's where, with opt-outs and transfer portals and all of that.
Who's going to be showing up?
What do we see for Michigan tomorrow? Is this that little spark? It's a 7 and a hook right now. I don't know about that line right now.
There's got to be a lot of optimism, though, too, right? Because, you know, new head coach, got to be, you know, fresh in the water, new blood in the water, if you want. I would think that there's got to be a little bit more of optimism around there instead of negativity like there was a couple of weeks ago.
Yeah, no, and it's a real boomerang, I think, for the mindset of this Michigan team. I don't know if you guys heard Biff Poggi's press conference.
Right.
It was doom and gloom. I mean, apparently he told the players, like, just go out there and have fun. Don't worry about winning. What?
Everybody gets a trophy type of vibe, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I mean, I get it. Like, I the players have been through a lot. They definitely feel betrayed. It has been an emotional roller coaster. For Michigan fans, I'm sure it has been incredibly difficult for the players to go through this as well. But I don't know how it helps them mentally to say, just go out and have fun. It doesn't matter if you win. I don't think that's the right mindset to have going into any game. So I was disappointed with those remarks. But I think, like I said, this is a complete 180. I think this really will invigorate the team. I think it will inspire them. And I think when, you know, Biff made those remarks, it wasn't clear who all was going to go because they didn't know who their head coach was going to be next year. So I have, in terms of opt-outs, I've only seen a few notable ones on the Michigan side. I think Jayshon Barham is going to be opting out. He's going to the NFL draft. I think Derek Moore, also on the defensive side, going to the NFL draft. El Hadi on the O-line, I think, declaring for the draft. But I have not seen, like, big names hit the portal yet. Knock on wood. There's a couple guys
that's
a little nervous about. But, I mean, I don't know that Texas can say the same thing. I've seen
it. There's lots about it.
Because you guys still have the same head coach. I don't think anybody in your program is.
And that's a great point. Night. Somebody brought that up yesterday, too. Matter of fact, Temple of Brutus, an Ohio State Buckeyes fan, brought that up, too. Very observant. Just been with all the, you know, fallout with all the other coaches going around. They've been able to retain their pieces, and yet alone, Texas still feels like they had the continuity at their head coach, but they lost their entire, or essentially their entire running back room, right? Or yeah. I guess they're, you know, 2 weeks ago, Wisner was having a great time here. Everything was, you know, peaches and cream, but now he's exiting stage right. And that we think that's because maybe Ball's probably entering the transfer portal and coming here. We still don't know yet, but there's a lot of hypotheticals going around. But yeah, you good, keen observation there. Our running back room is kind of in disarray. So,
yeah.
So Michelle, with the hiring there of Whittingham, because this was the thought, and again, for me, the dominoes were kind of falling in place when I see him. And from what I've gathered, I think it was one of those things where Utah was like, you need to go. And he's like, I need to go. I kind of saw this, especially with the path that Michigan is taking. Inside of the insiders of Michigan, I know it's a five-year deal. How long are we thinking that Kyle Whittingham, yeah, you know, he's... Is he just going to straighten this thing out, get some of the shady stuff fixed and dance off? Or is this something where he's going to run this five-year tenure there at Michigan?
It's hard to say.
I feel like this is where he's going to end his career at.
Honestly. Oh, yeah. I don't think he's going anywhere. This is his last stop. I am confident of that. I think the question is how long we get him.
How long do you keep him? Yeah.
But I don't know that it's going to be like a matter of his health, right? Obviously, the guy is in great shape. I think he seems to have a ton of energy. He seems to also be sort of reinvigorated by this new opportunity at Michigan. I mean, this is certainly, I think he said it himself, like there were very few places that if they called, he would have answered, but Michigan was one of them. So it's a huge job. It's a huge opportunity. He's got all the resources he needs. He could win a national title. And I think it might be a matter of how long it takes him to do that is how long we get to keep him in Michigan.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause that seems to be how these things go, right? You look at Jim Harbaugh. I think we would have had Harbaugh as long as it took him to win a natty. But once he won it, you know, then he was off to the next thing.
And we talked about the turmoil, you know, that went down with Coach Moore. But, I mean, it's still Michigan. Like, it's still one of the top marquee programs in college football. So, I think for anybody to turn it down, you kind of got to be off your rocker a little bit. In spite of what was going down with all the crazy negative stuff that was in the fallout with the program, it's still, like, it's Michigan football. You have to take the job. Or at least you have to have a conversation and you have to have an interview with them.
And the one, I think, I don't want to call it a blessing with regard to what happened to Sherrone Moore, but unlike the NCAA stuff that had been hanging over Michigan before and probably impacted the quality of the Michigan job because you didn't know whether you're going to be dealing with a postseason ban, you didn't know whether we're going to have scholarship limitations, you didn't know what the NCAA was going to do that could impact the program. This is kind of a cancer that you can cut out and remove and it's done, right? And especially when you get a very high character guy like Kyle Whittingham in there, and you replace a lot of the staff who maybe witnessed it or maybe knew what was going on or maybe didn't.
Or didn't report it, which is just
really bad. You are able to kind of create an immediate turnover and kind of purge a lot of the problems related to that issue more quickly than if it was something like an NCAA,
right?
Which I could see when we were trying to hire, when Harbaugh left in 2023, the Michigan job being less attractive at that time because there was just so much uncertainty as to what could happen to the program. That doesn't exist here. The program's going to be fine. We've got resources. We've got a really young, talented team. We've got players really, I think the Michigan job in 2025 is better than it was in 2023.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to ask you this because especially as we're watching, like I said, two blue bloods about to go at it with three losses apiece in the Citrus Bowl.
I think seven's the number right now for the Texas.
I saw 7.5. Yeah.
7.5 I saw, but I do want to ask you, so your thoughts, as much as you're are dug in over there and just with the landscape of college football, transfer portal, all of that. At some point, are we going to try to get this thing tied down to where we're not talking about these guys moving around and you got to pay them this kind of money and that kind of money? This has vastly changed our little sport right here that we love so much.
I know. It really has. It's been an exciting few years since the Alston decision that legalized NIL. But I think we're actually headed that way because I think with the House settlement and, you know, not to get too legal on you guys.
Because you are a lawyer, by the way.
I am a lawyer. Yeah. I'll save that for my day job. I do mergers and acquisitions.
Okay.
Not important.
My wife's in law. That's why. Okay.
Yeah. But I do think that with the House settlement and with the NCAA finally acknowledging not just NIL, which was sort of pay for play in disguise. It was pay for play adjacent, but not quite there. If we can actually get the players locked into contracts, if we can get some sort of maybe antitrust exemption from Congress, where the players have to commit in a contract to staying with the program, I think that could really restore college football in a lot of ways. And it seems counterintuitive, right? Because pay for play is what the NFL does. Is this going to make it more like the NFL? What I think it will do is allow programs to return to really building over time rather than having to re-recruit constantly, rather than having guys, you know, be at three or four or five different programs over the course of their career, chasing bags all over the place. I mean, there have been a lot of casualties that we've seen in this era, right? Like you look at someone like Miko, who I think threw a really good thing away, the way that he left Tennessee. If you have an enforceable contract there, that doesn't happen to the same degree. So I think formalized pay-for-play, player contracts, maybe some congressional intervention really could help. I'm not shy about how I feel about the NCAA. I think they've done a really horrendous job of managing something that they should have been responsible for. They've been focused on the wrong things, namely investigating my program. They've not actually managed the transfer portal situation or the NIL situation well. Instead, they just keep getting sued. And judges don't make laws. That's not what they're there for. They're reactive. They're not proactive. The NCAA was supposed to be proactive. They weren't. And I think that's part of the reason why we found ourselves in this mess. I'll get off my soapbox now, but I could honestly talk.
No, I love that.
No, for sure. I love the ideas. I just think Pandora's box has been ripped off the, you know, and thrown into the damn ocean. It's just never coming back on. You're never going to be able to put a lid back on this thing, right? It's hard to control. So,
yep.
What about the match tomorrow, though? 2 p.m.
Yeah, score prediction to get us out of here. Yeah, your thoughts.
Score prediction, and then we got to get ready to put a bow on this bad boy, Michelle.
All right, score prediction. Michigan 21, Texas 17.
Okay, that is pretty viable, man. I can get behind that. I don't know if Texas is going to win either. Like I said, before you guys beat me to it, I think they are missing seven players on defense. So We will see how that falls out, man. It's a spring game, Michelle. That's what we're going to be playing. We'll have a spring game tomorrow. So Coach Sarkisian talked about looking, you know, into some of the underclassmen and, you know, just getting them reps and seeing how they can play out in the 26. I'm sure that Michigan's kind of looking the same way.
It's going to be kids out of the stands running the ball, Michelle, tomorrow for Texas is kind of what's going to be happening at this.
Basically, point. We're still trying to find a running back, Michelle.
Yep. Yeah, that's fine. Put me out there. No, actually, I don't think I survive a single football snap. I would be broken.
Before awesome. We let you go, what else you got going on? Anything you want to promote?
No, not really. I mean, you can find me on Twitter, Michelle K 4040. I make videos talking about college football games. It's really my passion. Love talking about college football, love Michigan, but I really enjoy Texas, honestly, this year too.
You do give some Texas love. I will say that.
No, I am not a hater of your program. I very much, have been a supporter of Texas. I thought you guys were going to be in the hunt for the national title this year. I thought it was going to be you or Penn State. Maybe with Clemson right there behind you. And wow, what a year 2025 has been.
Yeah, and all you know, Michigan almost being able to kind of get into the playoff too, if they would have been able to take care of Ohio State at the last bag of it or the last week of it, and you know, have Texas being able to handle business and kind of get in, you know, looking at three losses. It would have been nice to have both of these teams playing for something, but yeah. At least you're still going to get two blue bloods playing tomorrow. And
that's right.
I guess to go with Coach Poggi, you know, we just want everybody to have fun. So
that's a goal. Michelle, thanks for jumping on. Love to have you again. Talk some college football. You bet. Take care.
Have a good one, guys.
Enjoy the game. Take care. Yep. You bet. There she goes. Michelle.
Seven, right now the line's 7. And again, like she kind of hit the nail on the head. Really, and I'm not mocking Coach Poggi here. Like, is anyone really going to bent out of shape if you lose the ball game?
Here's the thing, Wags. I think that Texas is energized going into the game, but I think the hiring there of Kyle Whittingham, I think that drastically changes things on the Michigan side to where that's going to be like that breath of fresh air where you're seeing the light at the end of the tunnel. And that's, I think you see a real inspired effort tomorrow from Michigan. I really do. And that's where with the gaps, like we talked about
why I'm not shocked with the score prediction. 21-17 sounds like a legit prediction, right? And I can honestly see Texas fall. I mean, I know we've been sitting here talking about, you know, Texas should be able to prevail with all the mishaps and unfortunate stuff that's been going down with Michigan, but turning the corner with that breath of fresh air and getting, you know, new life into the program here, you'd like to think that the optimism is something to play off of.
Yeah, that's really the thing. I think when you look at that part to where it's like Michigan, they have that sigh of relief right now coming in to where Texas is coming into this game. And it's like, man, we have all these holes that we have to fill and we're losing running backs and we need two offensive linemen and our tight end might leave and, you know, changes in the staff and all that. That's where I think it's kind of different. Do you turn Arch Manning loose tomorrow? I mean, what are we going to see? And I think
that's
so intriguing to me.
I think both programs know what's it's like. It's all about the future, right? You don't want to have any type of injuries that can roll over in the next year and then, you know, you lose, you know, a key player or someone that is supposed to be a cog, you know, a decent cog next year, and now he can't even go, right? Because you played in a bowl game that was irrelevant. And I'm sorry to say that it's irrelevant, but anything outside of college football playoff, that is what it is. And we are very grateful to be playing in the cheesy. I woke up feeling cheesy today. I don't know if I'm the cheesiest, but I woke up feeling cheesy today.
So. And isn't that the thing, like I was mentioning there, to where you have a matchup with 3-loss Michigan, 3-loss Texas. These guys are playing each other, and it's kind of irrelevant, right? I mean, this should mean something more than, you know, getting Cheez-Its poured over your head or whatever the hell's going to happen tomorrow for the winter. But it's like, I think this is really going to be a good football game because the programs are at crossroads to me. And I think that both of them are in positions to where they can be national title contenders next year, but does it really matter? And that's what we find out tomorrow at 2:30. p.m.
All right, Amiga, we still got a few more sponsors to get out, don't we?
Absolutely. How about our man Tom McKay, AV Consultations, looking to watch that Texas game tomorrow? Well, I don't know if you can get an install set up for today, but you can definitely get that for 2026. Is that on your agenda? Well, talk to our man
Tom. Hi, this is Tom McKay, owner of Audiovisual Consultations, and all of us at Audiovisual would like to wish you and your family a happy holiday season. This time of year can get a little hectic, so we want to remind you to relax, enjoy the season with your family and friends, and give us a call at 512-255-8678 for all of your home entertainment needs. This is my favorite time of the year. I love the holidays, the music, the decorations, the presents, the whole darn thing. So this year I'm asking all you listeners to help make this a special holiday for everyone. Smiles are contagious and free, so let's give them away like the government gives away your money. Let's high-five strangers on the street, hold the door for people behind us, tip your servers more than they've ever been tipped before. Give to a charity, or hell, give to a bunch of charities. If someone does a good job, tell them they did a good job. Pat someone on the butt. Sing in public places just because it feels good. And as always, hug your kids until they beg you to stop. Watch some games with your friends and make love to your wife or your husband. I know there's some women listening too. You can still give us a call at 512-255-8678 if you'd like to get some cool electronics. But more importantly, have a great holiday season and a fucking awesome next year.
Absolutely right there. Oh, I don't have my mic drop thing here. Yeah, for Tom McKay. Here we go. Okay, it didn't do it. Let me tell you about my man, Mike McCall and McCall Custom Homes, McCallCustomHomesATX.com. If you're looking for that home renovation project, you've got an area of the house, a kitchen, a bathroom, whatever it may be, there's one phone call to make. There's one text to make, 512-633-9580. Check these dudes out. It's a father-son team. They've been doing it for 40 years. That's over, that's a lot of decades right there. That is four decades that these folks have been doing it for Central Texans, and they want to make you a proud customer next. Check out the gallery of projects at McCallCustomHomesATX.com. Get that free estimate at 512-633-9580. Be sure and mention Texas Sports Unfiltered, and make that dream a reality. Put your ideas together with theirs. You come up with something like me, where I walk into my primary bathroom, and man, it is brilliant. Tile floors, brand new cabinets, glass enclosures. I've got wainscot on the wall. They did all of that, and they can do that for you. You pick the room. 512-633-9580. Check out the A-plus ratings from the Better Business Bureau. Check out the five-star Google ratings. That's what you're going to find there. Serving Central Texans for over 40 years, we build value into your home. It is McCall Custom Homes. Check them out today.
You still doing the humbug thing?
2025, man. Here we go. This is our last 2025.
You still doing the humbug?
No,
you got your lights up, or did they take
my lights down? Are still up. Here's the other part about Humbug. Humbug, they have been so great, and we value that partnership that we had with them during the holiday season. I got an email from them, Wags, right before Christmas. They said, January 5th, we're coming to take those down. We're going to take them down, and we're going to store them for you.
So you're staying on contract with them?
That's part of the deal. So when you do something with them, they're going to take those down and go put them up. And then they said, we'll reach out in November of 2026, if I'm still alive. They'll reach out then and figure out when I want them reinstalled.
I just turned the comments back on because I
was not looking at the comments. Yeah, You guys calm down. I really like the lawyer talk in there. That's kind of what we're all thinking, but that's in very lawyer terms right there of what needs to happen. I kind of like that. Imagine that, a contract that actually binds you to keeping to your contract.
Great idea. It's a great, I don't think they'll ever sign off on it.
Yeah.
Right. Well, then the power's back in the NCAA's hand, which it's crazy because there has to be power in their hands. Like I know that we want to give the students and the players, you know, their bag and their money, but without the loyalty, without the ability to keep the players at the institutions, maybe say they don't get the bag unless they stay there for 2 years, right? It doesn't have to be 3 years or however long, but maybe they have to have they fulfill an obligation the next year forward of at least playing in 5 games, right?
Yep.
Moving forward, some type of clause that makes them hit their requirements.
Yeah. And this is where it's tough.
Like I said, Pandora's box was ripped wide open. It's hard to put the lid back on it. So,
and like she was talking about, she mentioned antitrust and all these different things. And I've just covered an antitrust trial with the NASCAR thing and all that that's going on. By the way, my heart is hurting today for Denny Hamlin. Denny Hamlin's dad passed away in a house fire a couple nights ago. And that gentleman was not doing well in the first place. He had some health issues. So Denny Hamlin lost his dad and might well lose his mom as well. Hearts and prayers to Denny Hamlin. But when you start talking about antitrust and like the NCAA, when people say the NCAA needs to do something, like she mentioned, the NCAA is doing really good at getting sued. But I think the NCAA put their hands up, Wags. They're like, y'all want all this shit? Have at it. Have at it. You said it. Pandora's box. Wild West. That's what's going on right now.
Hard to come back from it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm going to stay on with Jordan when he comes on. Can you do me a little bit of a favor and stay on with him for the first couple of minutes just so I can let the dog out real quick?
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Wolf. Certainly can.
Anything else we got to get to, man?
So what are your thoughts here as we round out 2025? We had just kind of in the sports landscape.
On, just thoughts on 2025 in general or thoughts on year? Like
sports. Yeah, I mean, okay. the biggest highlight for you in 2025.
You give me that question, I could go all over the place. Okay, for a couple hours.
I'm talking about was it something in hockey? I mean, the disappointment of 2025 of Texas football, especially after the way 2025 started. I'm assuming it's not the Giants. For me, it's not the Cowboys. I will say in 2026, I'm looking forward to the Spurs because they finally lost last night. But Spurs are scary. Welcome.
I don't know. NBA. That's a tough question because of the stuff that we do have information on. I think there's a darkness in sports right now. And I'm not trying to make this a negative conversation.
Yeah. Yep.
But I think sports are missing true leaders. I think it's all about the bag. I think it's, you know, we're students, athletes, coaches, we're all chasing around that bag of money where, you know, we're not really creating that program, that camaraderie anymore, right? That good culture. Like, we want to say that there's good culture out there that's being created, but are there programs that have legitimate good cultures? I love what Indiana is building. I am rapidly becoming a fan of Cignetti. It just seems like wherever he goes, he creates a family type of vibe, of a good environment for his players, for his students. And he wins. They buy into it. He's a little bit nutty, but they buy into the damn thing and he wins. It pays off for him. I would like to see more programs like that. Right. And of course you're getting transfer students in, you're utilizing the transfer portal, but until we start to see, again, you know, Pandora's box kind of controlled or maintained a little bit, I don't think we'll find the continuity. We'll see continuity ever again. I think we're going to see a lot of athletes chasing these bags of money, and I think that just leads to dark times in sports.
I think that
please don't misconstrue what I'm saying.
No,
it is not it's not bad to pay the athletes at all. I just think you have to have some type of system in place.
Like she was talking about, something that binds these people. And that's where I think we all have agreed for years that these athletes with NIL, that they need to be paid for name, image, and likeness because, you know, teams or schools are making a lot of money off of caps, shirts, whatever it is. But there was no like gradual, like we were talking about the weather, Wags, here in Texas. There's no gradual thing to where we go from 80 to, you know, 60 to 40 to 20. We go from 80 to 10 degrees, it seems like sometimes. And that's what's happened with this. And it was such a radical change. And you see that. And I saw this mentioned here too. And not that I'm frowning on this. One of the things in 2025, like gambling on sports, I know that's always been a big thing, but now that is.
And that'll always be there too.
Right? It like, is.
I mean,
But now it's like when we sit here and we talk about games, it's like we're dropping lines and that's boom, immediately what we go to. And I think in 2025 that intensified now with more gambling, and I'm not condoning it. I'm fuck. I do it for crying out loud. It's just, that's where we see how the sports business has changed so much now. And the entertainment part of this has changed to where people
it's a really good question, man. It's just like, again, like I'm a fan of everybody getting paid and everybody getting, you know, their value. It's just ultimately at the end of it, I think it's just short-sighted, right? Yep. Like you have to have education. You have to know how to invest your money. You have to know how to spend your money. And if you just throw people bags of money and they don't know how to invest it and spend it wisely, they're going to be without, you know, in 5 years once the game's past them. So sucks, or it doesn't suck. I think it's in a very vulnerable state right now. So,
yeah, I mean, it really is. And right here, like Derek's talking about, I mean, it really is to where the athlete and it was the first one about the education part, to where when you come down to it, this is college football. These are kids that are going to get an education. But it has become a business. And I think 2025 is really when
it's always been a business. So
it always has. That's one of the things that I have written down when I look at 2025. I'm going to go back to where college sports, and I'm not just talking about football. I mean, that's where it has truly taken itself to the level of where it is a business. And we've all known this, but now it's all so much more evident. And I don't see anything changing. And when you start talking about involving Congress and you start all these different things, I mean, shit, that's drastic measures, man. Right?
Yeah, you start adding Congress, it gets darker.
Yeah. Yeah. You involve Congress.
I don't know if you've been paying attention to all the fraud and corruption that's going around, but I mean.
Oh, is that going on?
That's NPR radio.
So. That's a whole, you know, and that's going to fix this for the people. Sure. It needs to be fixed. Let's get Congress involved.
Your thoughts on the game tomorrow. I mean, I know we got pre and post, but your thoughts on the game tomorrow.
It really comes down to what we've been talking about. The balance of this hour is the motive. I think both teams are going to be extremely motivated, and I'm excited to see Christian Clark. I'm excited to see James Simon. I'm excited to see these guys kind of put in a position to where can you go in there and make yourself, I guess, what are we looking to solidify tomorrow, Wags, with this running back thing? Running back two? Is that what we're looking to find?
I think we know that. I think we know that Simon and Clark, it sounds like a law firm.
It does. Not to be confused with Ryan Hecht.
Right. I think we know, like, I have faith in them. They don't put the ball on the ground. You know, they don't give opportunities to the opposition. I'm okay with having them tote the rock. I would like to see... No injuries, right? Again, go into it with spring game expectations. Get your players some reps, and if you get the win, obviously, you know, the win is what you want to bring home. But it's house money if you bring home a win. The number one goal for me is to come out unscathed and no injuries going into next season, right? And it sucks to say that, but anything outside of, and I stand on this, man. Anything outside of the college football playoff, it just seems irrelevant these days. So
isn't it weird to say that we're going into this bowl game tomorrow and the one position group that you have fully intact is the offensive line, the much maligned offensive line. It's like you've got to that. Look, I'm curious to see, you know, with Ryan Wingo,
quarterback, you know, I mean, Arch is going to play.
Yeah, I expect that you see. I'm going to see Day-Day McCutcheon tomorrow. I want to see a big dose of Day-Day McCutcheon. I mean, let that dude get involved, Emmett Moseley. Let's get these guys really involved and expand Arch's. Let's get that Heisman hype ready again for Arch, but let's do it on the field this time with some guys that he's going to be dealing with, you know, next year.
Yeah, DeAndre Moore is not going to be in there.
Let's
find some new toys, huh? Let's find some new toys. That's kind of what I want to see, some new toys.
I want to see some Brad Spence. I mean, I want to see these guys. I want to see Ty Anthony Smith show out on the defense. Both of those guys have showed out on defense at times. But I want they are going to be the showcase, I think, tomorrow, because they have to be the showcase. Ain't nobody left, for crying out loud. So let these guys get out there. Let's make some household names tomorrow, even though that it's only the Cheez-Its Bowl. I'm feeling cheesy. I am curious to see the motivation of both teams, Wags. I really am. I think Texas is motivated, like we talked about with Michelle. I think with the change there in coach and maybe the positive vibes over there, I think they're going to come out pretty fired up as well.
Yeah. What is she an insider of again?
College football.
Gotcha. How'd you find her?
We converse about college football.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously, that all started. This all started in the Texas Michigan game a couple of years back. That's kind of when all of that started back and forth.
Okay,
good takes and good insight from there. That is insight from Michigan that I would have never known. I would have never known any of that stuff, my brother.
Gotcha. How about Iowa and Vanderbilt tomorrow? How you feel about that?
Iowa and Vanderbilt. If I'm Vanderbilt. And again, this goes back to Vanderbilt with motivation and so forth. Is Diego Pavia playing in this game?
I think Diego Pavia is playing in this game.
Okay,
I'm pretty sure. I did not see if he is opting out of it or not, but I'm pretty sure the mindset of Diego Pavia, give me the spotlight, give me the attention. Yes, all eyes on me. Diego Pavia is playing. I don't know officially if he is or not. I'm just saying, you know, I would imagine he is.
If this dude's going to come out, he's going to be puro raza on them. This dude's going to try to improve his draft stock. Remember, I love how they asked this guy when they ask him about NFL quarterbacks. He says me. And I think that's the attitude that you're going to have from him tomorrow, where you come out. And if you're Vanderbilt, I mean, plead your case why you should have been in the college football playoff and take it out on Iowa, I would think, is what happens there, right?
No, I got you. Any more sponsors we got to get?
Man, we got everybody covered.
Get everybody done? Boom.
Everybody is covered. Let's dive in here and bring in our man.
Jay Guns. What's up, brother? Jay Guns, how are you?
Good. How are y'all doing?
Jay Guns.
Doing great, my man. Pre-bowl game. How you feeling?
Hey, I'm going to go let the dog out real quick. Roof, roof. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not sure. It wouldn't surprise me.